We are the church without walls. Well, duh, I saw that on the sign. What does that mean? It means where you are, outside of this place, you are the church. And being missional is trying to equip you dudes, no matter whether you work for Holland Hospital or West Ottawa school system, or you're working in a hairdressing salon, whether you're a handyman, whether you're a doctor, whether you're whatever you are, doing finances, an engineer, you have the opportunity to say, come Holy Spirit into where I'm working and bring the kingdom where it isn't. And we talk a lot about that. You don't have to just bring people here. You can be the people there. And then bring people here if you want. And it's just phenomenal. Boy Scouts is another place. I mean, we see lots of channels that God's used. So that's the second thing we're being missional by telling you guys, go do the stuff. Don't have to be perfect. Just say, God, can you come and change our environment here? Do it. Then the third area, and this is more when you think of missions, you think more of international involvement. And yes, we do. We go to the nations, and specifically in the Vineyard, we focus. We don't go to a different nation every year. We consistently go back to the same nation time after time, and we join with other churches that want to really see God move in the nation. It just so happens that the nation we started focusing on was Indonesia, and it's the largest Muslim nation. And by the grace of God, we have seen a church planting movement start with over 60 operating locations, businesses, churches, educational things. And at the back, Jeff has put a poster up the back that you can see where we're operating throughout Indonesia right now. It's really exciting. But a few years ago, through divine circumstances, we got led to Costa Rica. And so we've added another focus place for us, and that's Costa Rica as well. So for the last few years out of this church, we've sent teams of people to Costa Rica and Indonesia. Now, we have also other involvements in other nations, but as a corporate body, we've narrowed it down to those two locations. Doesn't mean we don't support French students coming in or people going to other countries. That doesn't mean that. But as a community, that's what we put our weight behind. And that's an introduction to Jeff, who's the leader of the Missions Task Force.
Thanks, Ross. That was perfect. So this morning's going to look a little different for our message time because it's our first Mission Sunday of the year, as Ross said, put on by the Missions Task Force. And we're a group that our purpose is to cultivate and activate WOW people into strategic and passionate missions involvement. And specifically, that means these two countries, Indonesia and Costa Rica, where the Vineyard has partnerships. It means some other partnerships that our church in particular is connected to, Youth with a Mission, Hope for the Nations, Women at Risk, and the Perspectives class. And if these are things that you think you might be interested in, please find me, talk to me. We'd love to have some more people helping out with these things. And today we're specifically going to focus on the two countries we're involved in, Indonesia and Costa Rica. The way that WOW and the Vineyard in general pursues these involvements is with five core values. There's local church-based missions, which means these kind of groups, our church is the main mover and shaker. We're the ones that are the main role players. Partnerships is a key strategy, so we're doing it with other people so we can do far more than we could ever do by ourselves. There's establishment of church planting movements, which means we want to plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. And development of and release of national leadership. So that means we're looking for the people in Indonesia and Costa Rica that can be raised up so that we're not needed anymore, so that we're just the helpers instead of the leaders. We don't want to be the leaders in somebody else's country. And finally, contextualization of Vineyard mission values for each culture, which means we're taking the core truths of the gospel and these values and figuring out what is the cultural clothing to put on them so that it really makes sense and it speaks to people like it speaks to us. So this morning we're going to get to hear from four pretty amazing people. The first one is Lodi. He is our friend in Indonesia. He's kind of the core person to the Indonesian Vineyard movement. And he's coming to us from a video. And Lodi's a person that, if you met him, you already know this, but I got to meet him 5 years ago kind of randomly at the Naylor Tattersons at an Easter lunch and walked away from that morning thinking, I kind of just want to be adopted by this guy so I can follow him around. And the hundreds of kids that he has at his orphanage would agree to that. They all affectionately call him Papa Lodi. And you're going to hear a few things that I want to point out in the video. There's some emphases on Lodi's a person who's just painfully aware of the sheer population of Indonesia that doesn't know Christ and has never heard the good news and doesn't have that hope. And so you hear an emphasis on just numbers. It's something that we don't necessarily emphasize a lot in our church, but he sees the need for going to more and more places to have more and more workers. He'll talk about his team that he sees as too small to be able to do what he wants to do. And if we ever ask Lodi, hey, how many people do you want us to try to bring over this summer? He's more likely to say, well, all of them than 5 or 10 or some small number like that. So we're going to pull up this video from Lodi, and he's going to kind of let you feel a little more connected to Indonesia, I hope. So one other thing I want to point out there is, I think a lot of us have probably posed the question, well, would we, it's expensive to go to the other side of the world like that. Wouldn't it be better to just send the money? And Lodi mentions that we gear up their activities. There's a presence that's hard for us to necessarily understand, being from a different culture, but when a team from here comes over there, and the excitement it brings, the momentum it brings, the publicity it brings is something that you can't do with a check just sending it over there. So now the next thing we're going to do is I'm going to invite up Dave Caldwell. And this is a man that nobody can argue with his passion and commitment to Indonesia. But we have to thank Terry, his wife, for starting that off, because she's the one who initially convinced him to go. But now he's led several teams of young people and businessmen. And he's just an honor to get to be a part of this with. And one thing that strikes me about Dave is he's a person who takes the things we hear in the church about this is how you're supposed to live your life and how to live out a faith walk and applies them much broader than a lot of people might do generally. As a business person, he runs a business like we're supposed to run our lives in terms of being someone who steps out in faith. And we're going to hear a little bit about that too today, I think. So I'll turn it over to Dave.
Thanks, Jeff. Glad I can move quick. Well, I'll tell you something. I sat and listened to the my dear friend Lodi. I'd be a lesser person if I didn't know that man. What a way to start something here. Why Indonesia? I was asked to speak about Indonesia. And whether you know it or not, Lodi parsed his words very carefully the way he described what we're doing and what he would like us to do. It's in the context of what we talk about all the time here at Community of Hope. And the relationships that we built in the past are based on just basically a vision that God had planted and God had cultivated since the beginning of this church. But Ross said, this has been a journey. And this journey of this church is tightly connected to the journey in Indonesia. And I could speak 1,000 words here today, which I would not have time to do. So what I've done here is taken a lot of pictures from the past and to help explain a story of that something that's real and not happenstance. There are strategies behind this, but there are things that are unexpected but planned by God, and it's obvious. When you talk about a vision, I'm going to say this before I get into this, when you talk about a vision is not very practical if it has no real possibilities. But when God is truly in it, and we walk in faith, which is something defined by what we don't really see. It's by something we believe. But then when you start seeing the results of it, you know, not that that's always a test if God's in it, but it's just so obvious that God has been involved in what we've been doing here and in Indonesia. And we would all be less impacted if we were not working in Indonesia. So, having said that, why are we there? Indonesia. I mean, there's a lot of places we can go, But why are we focused on Indonesia? Who knows? I mean, exactly, why are we there? We could pick a lot of places to be, right? But why are we here? The reason I say it that way is because who knows what God's ultimate plan is for Indonesia? I can't tell you that. But here, this is something true, and this is something a lot of us say, but we're just obediently entering into what he's called us to do as a body. It doesn't matter what God's ultimate plan is. It's only what we are called to do. I was just the song that I am ready. How does that go? We are ready now. Do your will. And, we're saying, God, we're ready now. Do your will. I think God could say the same thing to us. I'm ready now. Do your will. Our will is to be obedient to what God's called us to do as a leadership. Now, maybe he hasn't stirred individually into each person's lives here that, but as a leadership, from the day we started this church, we were called into that. And that's a fact. God has called this small church. Before, it was just a church plant. He called this small church plant into something pretty big. Not that we really knew it at the time. And we're talking about the time frame around 2005. And we being part of the vineyard, in that, Without Walls Vineyard, started something big, something very big, goes well beyond Indonesia. That was the place he called us into. In 2005, there were stirrings going on, and Lodi had come, and we were talking about church plants and the vineyard. Lodi was adopting the vineyard at that time, and there were stirrings about starting a new church here, a new church plant on the north side of Holland. And so we were right involved in that. And things like me sharing Boy Scouts, because I had a Boy Scout troop back then, and sharing a vision for missional. What does it mean? It doesn't mean just here. It talked about sustainability. How do missions sustain themselves without constantly looking for donations? There's lots of conversations. It was the Edgels and the Caldwells and the Naylor Tattersons, and we're just talking about this stuff. And even then, we're looking at businesses, trying to tie the business that I was involved in back then into that. And then hearing Lodi say, that's not Boy Scouts in Indonesia. Really? That's what it is here, And start thinking, all these things are stirring. And so even then, we were starting to talk about, well, let's go look, let's go visit Indonesia. Let's talk about business. Let me go look and see what it's like. There's a story behind that. I don't have time for it. But the point is, let's go. We'll go in 2006. And then the tsunami hits. God, what are you doing? The vision that God was stirring in our hearts at that time was Community of Hope. We didn't know what it was then. But we go to Indonesia where all these needs are, especially right after the tsunami. And how are we going to address all these needs? Who are we? Are we a relief agency or are we a church planting movement? What are we? And we wrestled with those things. Our hearts were saying we need to send as much as we can for food and pots and big pots to cook rice in and all kinds of stuff. But are we a church planting movement? What are we supposed to do? We had to recenter ourselves and focus on the church planting. And we didn't do this on our own. We did this by talking to our friends in Indonesia. What do you need? What we really need is a church planting movement here. We need the vineyard to come. And in that is what Community of Hope. And I'm not here to talk about Community of Hope, other than to say that everything that we have done since 2005 has been centered based on Community of Hope. There is a strategy. It's not happenstance. God, what are you doing? Step in. Oh, that's what you're doing, God. No, there has been a strategy. And watch God step into that and answer questions and answer needs through the context of Community of Hope. Now, yeah, there are things that did come up, that did develop, that was unexpected. But it was always in this context of how do we bring sustainability? How do we impact youth? How does the church meet the needs in a local community? And the thing is, Indonesia is as large as the United States. From that tip up here, the northwest to the southeast, is as long and wide as the United States. And you got a man here, Lodi Pusuma, who has a vision for this nation. we went to a meeting, I'll never forget it, when we were collaborating on what we're going to do and what's the vision. And Roz came out with Lodi and said, well, we're all going to have to get our cholesterol down because we got a long ways to go. Yeah. But let me tell you something. Like Roz said, we got 60 church plants across that country. I threw this up. I'm not going to read it. But there's some interesting things about the facts of Indonesia. Largest Muslim nation in the world. Do you think in this time in history that the Muslim population of the world, we need to figure out a way to live alongside those people? I mean, do you imagine with China and all the stuff going on, that if you look at geopolitically where Indonesia is, maybe God might have a plan for that nation? I don't know. But I do know this, that the time that we were going there was right during the Iraq War, and there was all kinds of terrorism and Bali attacks and in London, and there's all kinds of things that were going on. But we were called into it, and we went into that nation. Ironically, there was a bombing in London when we were in Indonesia. There's no place safe in this world. Well, that's what came out of the tsunami, and that would not be there if it wasn't for this church. That building in South Sumatra would not be there if it wasn't for this church. How did we come up with the money for that? It wasn't money that we provided. We provided a vision. We provided an avenue, a conduit for people to put money into this. And yes, even in our own community, that created a stir. Remember, this is when people were attacking us. But yet then we were able to break through that and build an understanding. And this eventually now is an orphanage for people that, for young children that were displaced from the tsunami in Aceh. That wouldn't be there if it wasn't for this church. We're leading this. These are the beginning stages of a church planting movement back in 2005 and 6. A team of people led by this church went there to start teaching and ordinating. Ross was ordinating new pastors for Indonesia. I got so many Facebook, I don't even know this bit about Facebook. I still don't know the social etiquette of it, but I got so many young people wanting to friend me on Facebook. I don't know. I don't even know if it's appropriate, you know, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds. But I'll tell you one thing. There are relationships built here amongst our youth that are deep. I mean, this day and age with the internet, we can be connected on a daily basis. And I know our young people know these people. And of course, our youth, now look it, here's a fact. I mean, I got so many pictures related to youth, and I do not want to send the message, this is about youth. It's not about venturing today. It's about Indonesia and missions. But this is the sphere of influence I had, was the youth. And that's what I was looking to empower, was the youth. Jeff's sphere of influence is the whole church. And working with Jeff, we want to empower everybody here to participate in that kind of a thing. I will tend to gravitate towards youth because that's who I am. But there's a lot of you who are not youth. Well, you could be if you joined Boy Scouts. You still can. But I can talk to you about that if you want to talk. But the point is, these relationships. Now, are they all here today? Are these people in this church today? No. Some are. Some aren't. Some have gone away. Some might return. But they know each other. They have an experience. And whether they knew it then, they will know now, over the years, that they made an impact in a country. That group, this is 2000, I can't remember, 7, 8? Oh, they had other kinds of experiences. But that's Indonesia. Look at that. I mean, it goes from one end to the other in the social economic classes. And because of this church again, there are people that are involved that don't even go to this church now being pulled into this, into new areas of Indonesia. These people don't even go to our church except one. No, yep, Terry's in there. Okay. I just want to make a case again, though. And again, it's so easy for me to talk passionately about Community of Hope. But this is the context that we went to Indonesia. Community of Hope intentionally aligns social organizations. It could be the Red Cross, it could be the Boy Scouts, or it could be this church. Businesses and young people to provide hope with a capital H by meeting felt needs in a sustainable and reproducible way. And it's through partnering for a common cause, people willing to serve together, sustainable business with integrity, intentional investment in young people, and through indigenous leadership. We do this by equipping and mobilizing people to meet felt needs. Focus on the needs of those they serve. Encourage servant leadership. Demonstrate compassionate care. Provide a sense of belonging. And the church will bring moral, social, spiritual, and address those ethical issues. And so what has God done? I'm just, again, under this context, he's gathered and drew different people together. This is what he's done since 2005. He's created community, and the community is here, and it's also Indonesia. He's planted a vision, and through his people and by his hand, many people and their communities have been changed. That's a fact. And I don't know how this thing's doing this, but anyways. Through his people and by his hand, many people and their communities are being transformed, even today. So there's been past change, and there's transformation taking place today. Whether we're there or not, Lodi and Yusak and Samuel and his team, Liu, Johannes, they're moving forward, with or without us. But he's asking for help. He's saying, we couldn't have done this, maybe, without you. He leaves room for God, no doubt. But he knows that we had an impact, and he's saying, it's growing, and we need your help. And that was a question. I was in Singapore in February. Do what we can do to talk about, Lordy, what do you want us to do? Do you really need us now? Maybe you do want that money now instead of us. No, I want you to come. We need you to come. So what are we doing in Indonesia? 2007. A barren field. If you look out there, you'll see a bunch of young people bent over planting trees. Planting trees. What's that got to do with missions? Well, I try to convince the young people that planting trees was missional. But why? It creates sustainability. It educates the people there about the need for environmental awareness. We were talking about clean water. We were working with our church planters. And so this is just the face of something much deeper. And there they are. And I wish there was a little temperature indicator up here to tell you how hot it was there. But there we are in the middle of this field planting trees. Does that look like a happy bunch? Does that look like somebody, whatever. I don't see a lot of smiles here. They were trying to get cool on that floor. And Terry's always telling me she still hasn't been to Bali yet. This is where her experience in Indonesia has been. And there's the building that we were around. That was what we were hanging out, getting our shade. There was no real shade in that community. And these are the young kids there. You know, it was a hot day again. But that led to this. How did that happen? That was not on the agenda. This was not on the agenda that trip. This came out of somebody just happened to walk by. What are you guys doing here? A guy in a uniform. He says, well, I can arrange for a gathering. And so out of that, out of planting trees came this. The whole village came out. Of course, this is what the kids want to do. Not plant trees. This is what they really want to do. And look at this. Everybody, pictures being taken. Who are these guys? You got to understand, this was an area that Liu was afraid. How are we going to be received in an area like this where Christians don't come and certainly white people from the United States don't? And then there's a soccer game going on. Of course, our guys felt at disadvantage. They had cleats. We didn't. And I love that picture. I don't know what that means, but there's something deep about that picture. A woman who doesn't want to smile, but she is, and her daughter. And what are they seeing? What are they thinking about what's going on? In a time when bombs are going off in Iraq and all kinds of tumult. Look at this. These guys are, I mean, they're dressed to kill, man. And we did lose, by the way. And look at the smiles here now. More. And then look, we get invited to teach the things that we went there to teach, to talk about. And we end up with an audience of Indonesian youth talking about the importance of leadership in youth, the importance of women in youth, the importance of clean water, the importance of business and sustainability. I didn't plan that. We didn't plan that at all. And then we go on a tour, and we're now here's an agricultural head of the agricultural school there. Notice the shirt that I'm wearing, Trees for Lives. No, I actually said, that was the beginning of Trees for Lives. It starts with just a seed. And I didn't make that T-shirt. Jessica and some others did that one. based on our vision. So now we have a relationship. And this is what it looked like that day. And this is what it looked like recently when Terry went there. With some people who don't even go to our church. There's the side-by-side comparison in 4 years, 5 years. And it's growing. You see, there's more stuff going on there. And then we went to South Sumatra. Those pictures that I just showed you were from Palembang, more mid sort of Sumatra. And then we went to South Sumatra to do it all over again. This is the place we went. But here's the thing. Those trips didn't start then. They started by many trips before that. You have to understand that when Ross and I and Jim Barnett and some of our young people went on a trip, we had to stop and meet. Lodi had to meet with the local authorities to explain why we were there. There was a lot of suspicion what we were there for. And he talked about our model. We're here to bring youth. He talks about the Boy Scouts. We're here to talk about business. We want to create business here. We want to bring sustainability. Next thing you know, the guy goes from being suspicious to, I know where some great camping spots are. You know, we really like the fact that you're going to create jobs in our community. We can protect your business people when they come to this area. We went from here to here. And it wasn't because you were walking around thumping the Bible. We're here to meet real needs based on real compassion. So here's some people, a group of us, going on this upper room. Remember that, Ross? We were whisked in and whisked out that particular day. But there was a whole group of church planters or people who had heard about this and came to work with us in Lodi in that area of South Sumatra. And so we have young people here and people from our own congregation. And, of course, the guys get out there and start playing around with the kids. That was before. That was way before, like a year before we went. So going back, planted trees. And Lodi's already starting to look at planting, doing seedlings, to sell seedlings to local population as a business model. There's my wife again planting trees. Oh, we got there. I forgot about this. Again, right there. I called down, had a conversation. I got to keep this short, but have a conversation about why are we here? Different group of people. Well, we're here to do water. Same story. I can get a bunch of young people to go play volleyball. So out of nowhere, again, we got the suspicion. You can tell Lodi was a little nervous at the time. So we ended up taking a picture together. Everybody's happy. And then, oh, this was funny. I got to tell you this. I'm here talking about clean water, and I have my little water filter, and the guy that's real relaxed there in the uniform, he says, hey, Joe, or whatever the other guy's name, go out and get some of that water out of the gutter. He makes me pump it and drink it, which I had no problem with because I trust that water filter and did a good job. I did not get sick off of that. But we committed to bringing clean water. The girls are playing volleyball. They got beat bad. The guys are playing volleyball. I think they held their own, actually. Oh, by the way, that building's where you get bird nest soup from, or the nest for bird nest soup. That was interesting. For scouters around here, these are scouters. I had to take a picture with other Boy Scouts. Notice some of them are girls. Again, building these relationships. But again, this was all preceded. Years, 2005, took a venturing crew. Very, very small group compared to the one that we took in 2007. But you can see we were laying the groundwork in the model. Young people teaching, does that slide look familiar to some of you? That's my Community of Hope slide, where we're teaching this to other people in Indonesia. The same message that we teach here, we're teaching there. And you can see there's some other young men that our young men are building, you know, we're building relationships with. And then, but even then, I mean, Ross and I have been taking trips over there, between trips, to continue the message, to continue the continuity of what we're doing. And there are people that have been to this church who have not, no longer come here. Still, we're part of that. People doing what they could do. He was critical on that trip. This Mark Leonard, maybe some of you remember him, the guy in the glasses there. He, you know, we needed the cash, you know, to help fund this trip. He stepped up. He doesn't come to this church anymore. But guess what? He's involved in my business, though. He's still involved, even though he doesn't come to this church. And guess what? We're doing it again. Last February, a small team, mostly people not from this church, go to another area that Lord says, I want to do the same thing again. And again, I heard in February. So other people are joining into this outside of the church. And these are people. And by the way, there's ties to Thailand in here now. And some of these people are now in my business. And of course, this is Lodi's vision. There's going to be coffee coming from this area. And I'm just trying to show that there are people now involved that don't go to this church. Lodi's asking for wild people to come. Most of the people going to Indonesia right now are either youth or people not from this church, even though this church is the one that started it and is still leading the movement from this country. And it's going on. Oh, and by the way, I learned a lesson. That cobra has the tape over its head. But this is Sandy. You know, all these things that we do, we try to do other things too. Of course, with youth, I try to do the high adventure component. Now, if you're not got that same passion for high adventure, you don't necessarily have to do these things. So don't be afraid of some of this stuff. Because of the youth factor, these are the kind of things we do for fun. And Indonesians want to share the country with us, by the way. So this is part of it, us appreciating what they have. This is eating those snake after we caught them. And some of these people you still know. They still go to this church. And sometimes we go native a little bit, but, you know. And that's not a mirror. That's one. They're trying to duplicate a mirror. But, again, the venturing crew doing some diving. And joining in with the fish, you know. And they're a bunch of hams. They always were. Again, that picture there. And all these activities, we're taking young people with us. We don't just do them on our own. We share together in rappelling. Catching lizards. So here's the thing. So what is happening? A Vineyard Church movement is planted and growing. We're utilizing community flow principles, indigenously led, first wave activity in rural areas, and now it's multiplying. The leadership in Indonesia is requesting long-term support teams, people who can go there and live. Teams to come and help teach community flow principles. You just heard Lodi's ask about that. Teams to support activities such as those we have done in the past. And here's the thing. You might be saying, what can I do? Well, first of all, I would like and pray that you would think community. What I mean by that is, you may say, I can't go to Indonesia, it's too expensive. But what can you do in terms of the team going? God created you for a purpose. What is it now? Is it to support somebody else to go in your little bit? Or is it, maybe you can do it now? And here's the thing, I'm going to tell you something here, because I always hear all kinds of stuff. But I'm going to say this, if you plan to go, you will go. Don't wait for a trip to be announced to start planning. Plan on being ready when the need arises. Start saying, I am going to go. However long it takes me to save up the money, accumulate the time to go, and start doing it. Just start doing it. Don't worry about, well, there's no trip planned. Do it. There's a need all the time. Be ready. In Boy Scouts, we say, be prepared. For what? Any old thing. Well, be prepared for the need to go to Indonesia or Costa Rica. Please always ask. People always ask, what is the purpose of the trip? If you're a leader, you'll find out and help the plan. And if you're not, you will be given opportunities to contribute. Working together, we'll go much further. And without risk, there's less opportunity for your faith to grow. Embrace stepping out. So here's the specifics on this. We're looking at a team to go June 27th through July 12th. How many? Lodi's asking for two teams of five people. Where? Papua, North Sumatra. Two different locations. Purpose, basically community of hope training. Don't worry about what's going to happen on that trip. Whatever we can do, we will do. Whatever we can do, we will do. The past and the future. Right there in one picture. Indigenous. He's smiling. No, he's not, but he will be. Okay. If you have any questions, please talk to me or Terry or Jeff, certainly. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. Now we have Mark Lyon's going to come up and share a little bit about Costa Rica. Mark is part of Southside Vineyard. He's been leading trips out of there for a bunch of years. Wow's had the opportunity to join in with these trips for the last 3 years. And I won't go into much detail, leave that to you. And we also have the chance to be introduced by the local leader there, too. This is Reiner. So without further ado, we'll turn it back over to you guys.
Okay. So it's about friends. As I hear Dave talk, isn't it? There's a passion. And as he sees his friend Lodi and starts to choke up that his life is different about meeting Lodi, and there's passion there, isn't there? There's a relationship. There's friends. I want to thank you. I see a lot of familiar faces. We're friends, you know, coming from Southside, coming from Grand Rapids this morning. My pastor was here last week. He had a great time. He spoke so highly of you, and he had a great time. I've heard compliments from some people as I talk. He, you know, did a great job. We're blessed to have him, but he loved you guys, and really connected as a friendship level, isn't it? And as we go about the kingdom, it's about the friendship and the friends that we make. Well, about three and a half years ago, I went on my first trip to Costa Rica, and do you know when you meet somebody that you just, when you just click with them? When I went to Costa Rica, I just clicked with particularly my friend Reiner, which you're going to hear from in a moment. But his vision and the passion coincides with this community of hope model that Dave has been talking about. And it's like we didn't necessarily teach him that from this church, but he has. It's something God's doing. It's something God's moving in, and something. So we, as Southside, and you guys have sent teams over there, and we're starting this partnership with Vineyard Palmares, just outside of San Jose, the capital. And but think of it. It's about friendships and about experiencing, obviously, new cultures, but it's about these relationships and how core these relationships are. So my friend Reiner is going to announce and say hi to you guys, and then another friend, Skip, is going to narrate kind of what's happening in Palmares right now.
Hey, Paul Vineyard. This is Brian Proas from Costa Rica, and we just want to share with you a little bit of what's going on in our church and what God is doing in our town. So thank you for partnering with us.
The Vineyard Palmares is a community of hope in the district of Escapulas, which is the largest and neediest district in Palmares. The unemployment rate and the high school dropout rate are the highest in our area, and unfortunately, addiction and crime have grown. Relevant mission and compassionate ministry for us means getting to the roots of these issues. So we are partnering with businesses, with schools, and with government institutions as we build communities of hope here in Costa Rica. Some ways we are doing this is with a machine shop that we started and is co-owned by some members of our church. Our equipment is used to train and certify workers in precision mechanics. Our pastoral team has been asked by a local furniture store to teach their 87 employees every Monday at 5 p.m. on family issues, life improvement, and relational skills. And we are encouraged to teach from the Bible and present the gospel, all while they are being paid on the clock. Another big part of impacting our community with hope is by investing in the youth, the future leaders of our community. The teams your church has been a part of have helped us make an impact. As a result, youth and children outreaches your churches have helped us do, we have received letters of commendation from the mayor's office and the chief of police, and they are now asking us to partner with them in designing drug prevention programs and to lead training efforts on morals, drug prevention, strengthening families, and environmental issues from a Christian perspective. We are actively mentoring and training youth to be leaders in the church and in the community. We have experienced some opposition in the past 10 years. We've been shut down a number of times because our rented facility did not meet zoning. But every time, God made a way for us to reopen, and every time, we have grown. Last year, the owner sold our facility and informed us we had to move out. With help from people like you, our church community was able to purchase and set up a tent on a piece of property we own, and we are currently building offices, bathrooms, and classrooms become our ministry base. This summer, some people from your church will be joining us in spreading hope as we do children and youth outreaches here at Paul Myers and the surrounding area. We plan on finishing up some projects here at the new property. We'll also join with another church to work with interstate children in San Jose. And of course, we plan to pray for sick and hurting people and join the Father as we ask for more of His kingdom to come and break in here in Costa Rica.
So that's a little tidbit of what's happening. This year, obviously, have you seen, they're doing the businesses, the Community of Hope model of businesses, sustainability, and with their metal shop, they're looking just to kind of file things away, too. We're partnering, some people from our church are partnering with a coffee business and, trying to do that, as well as something pretty creative is like used tools, carpentry tools, drills, saws, whatever. Sending them in over in a big shipment and selling them, creating a Home Depot, type thing with, because tools are very needed over there. So those are the type of businesses. Obviously, the youth programs that we've had before, kind of the parties and carnivals. We've led VBSs for children. We've had youth camps. We took part in a youth camp last year that Bonnie and Megan went to and others. But and then obviously the church, and they're building this base, the base camp. We put up a big top tent and a place to worship, but also their offices. And they see themselves, and the pastor there is really the core person for church planting in the area. But he's also, he was in business, ex-business guy. So within his model is the sustainability. And it's just fun to come alongside people that have the same core values, Vineyard core values, because they're part of the Vineyard churches, so the kingdom come. But then this aspect of businesses and youth and just bringing the emphasis on, this Community of Hope model. So. We are having a trip, again, June 23rd through July 2nd, time frames. So I have information if you're interested, if you're stirred, to go and partner with my friends here and creating relationships, and that's what it's about. So thank you for having me today, and thank you for your involvement in Costa Rica and Indonesia and this community as well, the Holland community. So thank you much.
Thanks, Mark. And with exciting things to share, time goes quickly. So we're going to end with a few things all happening at once. First, Mary has a clipboard to pass around. There's a pancake breakfast next week before church starting at 9 a.m. This is going to be a suggested donation of $5, a way to raise some support. Generally speaking, the biggest obstacle to people being able to go on these trips is finances. It's tough to make it work. So we're trying to help make it possible for more people that have the passion and the call to go. So there will be that next Sunday at 9 a.m. The sign-up is for us to have a better idea of how many people to expect. And if you're interested in helping make that possible, cooking tables, those sorts of things, please just make a note on that clipboard. And you should have a little reminder on your seat or near your seat to stick on your fridge. And we're going to have an opportunity for communion in just a minute. So I invite the communion service to come up. This is a chance. We do it every week. We celebrate the chance to receive Christ's body and blood and to embrace the reason why we're doing all these things, the hope that we have that we want to share with these communities abroad. So you can come up and partake in communion. There's a box right here if you'd like to make a donation to help make these trips possible today. Feel free to do that. I appreciate that. And there will be a couple of people available for prayer ministry up at the front, too, if you'd like prayer for anything. And while this is going on, there's going to be a slideshow showing that we'll have probably some familiar pictures and some new ones of Indonesia and Costa Rica and some labels to help you know what you're looking at. These are things just to spur on prayer if you're willing to take the time to be here throughout it and watch it and look for what God's stirring up your heart to be praying for, especially if something really catches your eye. Remember it, write it down, and don't just pray for it this morning, but try to remember to keep praying for these people. It opens all the doors. We know that prayer is our greatest weapon in all these things, and trips won't do anything unless they're surrounded by prayer. So with that, you guys are dismissed once You've done whatever you'd like to do, so if you'd stand and receive a blessing. So we just pray on everybody in this room, the grace of God, the love of the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask that you would be with each of us as we go about our weeks, and just have your way in this community here and all the communities we're connected to around the world. In Christ's name, amen.